Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living
Show. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Hey, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, Yashala.
Shalom, Yashala. That's peace, bro.
All right, let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Sound of Living Water, the Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Tonight is the 13th edition. We had a Spirit of Meekness and Bible study class. Today they bring in, what is pure religion and undefiled before God? That's a huge question. What is humanism and undefiled before God? Because every man seems to be right in his own eyes. You know, we all think we right. We all think we straight. We all think that we able to look at somebody else and be quick to judge. Like we have it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been even trying to even go there, you know. But those of us that are the ones that are lacking in just about everything. So they're too busy trying to fall short in everything and not enjoying just what's good. You know, I think we talked about it once before, about looking at a sheet of paper and all we see is a dot.
Oh, yeah, the plaster saint. Only observe the black dot on the white paper.
There it is. Same conversation. You dig? So what is pure religion and undefiled before God? Well, you got your brother Isaiah Brown and your brother Nakomi Swanson to bring this drama, man. We want to hear this precept. I'm not going to hold this mic any longer. Let the Bible speak. We turn it over to brother Isaiah Brown.
Amen, 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 amen. Grace and peace. Grace and peace to my brothers and sisters that's near and far. As always, you know, it's time for us to get into the scripts. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm teaching the precept tonight. And the reader is Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Little Israel. And you know, this precept we're doing today, brothers and sisters, is going to really give us an eye-opener. It's a serious, serious, serious eye-opener. It's because everybody named Mama want to be right, you know, and like how Pharaoh always used to say, you know, who grow up not wanting to be nothing or nobody. I get that. I understand that. I agree with it 100%, you know. But at the same point in time, is brothers and sisters, we have to understand according to scriptures. The scriptures has taught us. The scriptures have shown us We only know the half. Why do you think there are so many offices when you go into the book of Ephesians, I think chapter 6 or 4? Don't quote me on that, but just basically talk about the talents, like the offices. You know, some pastors, some teachers, some elders, some, you know, some deacons and all that kind of stuff. You know, the reason why we have all of those different talents is for brothers and sisters to understand that everybody has a portion. So no one has the right or latitude to tell you, I got my whole thing right. My doctrine is pure. I'm clean in God's eyes. We can't do that. But at the same point of time, the Bible do tell us what is pure religion and undefiled before God. Like when Nakomi put that script together, man, that was some powerful stuff. You know, when he went and showed John's parents, he said they were blameless. But ain't no telling what level of understanding or what level of your actions you have to do to be considered blameless. Because the Bible already said that there's not one righteous man that doeth good and sin not. The Bible said our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. So it can't be that perfect capital G God doing right. It's the portion God has given you. Doesn't mean you're doing everything right, but you're doing enough to please God. And it's enough to also make it into the right side on the resurrection. So this is a very important precept, definitely since Passover is coming up. It's actually right around the corner. I'm going to eat a little bit more bread and just go ahead and throw the rest of that stuff out maybe, you know. But it's a good question. The precept is a question. What is pure religion and undefiled before God? So what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is look through the scriptures to find out what's not pure religion and undefiled. And then we're going to find out what is pure religion and undefiled before God. Because we got to understand, we have people in the Bible that talk about pure religion and all that other kind of stuff. But it was on a negative state. Like, for example, the book of Job, chapter 11. You know, when the brothers was talking, he said, man, should a man last? If a man last, should he hold his peace? You say that your doctrine is pure. You clean in God's eyes. But all that God would tell you that you don't know the half, and he not beating our heads in as good as he should for making a stupid statement like that. So, of course, we're not going to go no farther because I'm telling you the precept. So what I'm going to do is start us on the Lord's Prayer. The brother McCormick can read what the Father put on his heart. So all sisters, please cover your head. All brothers, please uncover your head. If possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem, so we can get these precepts bumping and jumping. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 And he answered me, saying, the Most High hath made this world for many, but the world to come for few. I will tell thee most similitude, Esdras, as when thou askest the earth, it shall say unto thee that it giveth much mold, whereof earthen vessels are made, but little dust that gold cometh of. Even so is the course of this present world. There be many created, but few shall be saved. So answered I and said, swallow then down, O my soul, understanding, and devour wisdom. For thou hast agreed to give ear and art willing to prophesy, for thou hast no longer space than only to live. O Lord, if thou suffer not thy servant, that we may pray before thee, and thou give a seed unto our heart and culture to live our understanding, that there may come fruit of it, how shall each man live that is corrupt, who breatheth the place of man? For thou art alone, and we all one workmanship of thy hand, like as thou hast said. I have read 2 Esdras chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And Brother Montgomery, you should already know what I'm about to say. Hold that script down for the last one. Hold that one down for us. The last one. That's a good one. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to get into this precept. It's time for us to understand what is pure religion and undefiled before God. Because you can be, your religion can be pure about what you're doing, but we got to understand what you got to do for the Lord to say this about you. How the Lord could be in the third heaven and say that you undefiled? Don't you know God can say that about you this very day, or just your actions, a certain type of actions? God can call you that, but it's not what's being taught to us. With all this banging knowledge and trying to point the finger on what you know, ain't got nothing to do with that. We're going to find out that this thing is so simple. It might be hard to believe because it's so simple. But it's very simple. So what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, before we get into the precept, we got to find out what's not pure and undefiled in God's eyes. What's not pure and undefiled before God. Before we even get into what is pure, let's find out what's not pure so we can get that garbage out of our head and understand what is pure. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Job chapter 11. The book of Job chapter 11. The book of Job chapter 11. And what we're going to do, Brother Nakomi, is read verse 4. And all we need is verse 4. Well, we're going to read verses 4, 5, and 6. We're going to do it that way. Well, I mean, we always go through. I just wanted to give verse 4, but I'm reading this stuff. It all go hand in glove, so who cares? We're going to pick this thing at verse 4. And we're going to read to verse 9. 4 through 9. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Job chapter 11, starting at the 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thy iniquities deserveth.
Now one second. So now we understand right off the bat that pure religion and undefiled before God ain't what you know. All that knowledge banging and thinking that you so pure and right, that ain't the type of pure God is talking about when he said you're undefiled. It ain't that type. It ain't saying for my doctrine is pure. So your doctrine is not what God, that is not why he called you pure, because of your doctrine. It ain't that. So we need to understand this conversation. For thou said, my doctrine is pure and I'm clean in thine eyes. But all that God will speak and open his mouth, his lips against thee, and that he will show thee the secrets of wisdom that they are double to that which is. Know therefore God exacteth of thee less than thy iniquity deserveth. So it's telling you that if you say your doctrine is pure and you're clean in God's eyes, God is going to look down at you and tell you that you don't know the half. And he's not knocking you out or knocking your team straight for you making a stupid statement like that. So your doctrine is not why God say it's pure. There's another type of pure that God is talking about, but it's not what you think you know with your doctrine. It's something completely different. So just because it's a good thing if you're reading your book all day, no wrong with that. But I'm just letting you know. God wants to see something more out of us other than just reading the book and just trying to prove that you're right. He wants to see something different. Now, let's see what pure religion and undefiled is before God. Because now we know it's not that. So now let's find out what it is. And I know we said the verse 9, but we can just do 4 to 6. We did that good enough. Excuse me, brothers and sisters. I'm going to go and stay on board. So let's find out what this thing is all about. Now let's go into the book of James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1, and all we want is verse 27.
James 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Oh, so that's what pure religion is? So it's not saying your doctrine is pure, but he's telling you pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You mean to tell me this simple instruction is how you really please God and get it to keep him with you at all times? You mean to tell me in all this, my doctrine is pure, I'm clean in God's eyes with the knowledge I have, I can read and teach this, I know this, I can pull this book. You mean to tell me it ain't none of that? You mean to tell me that the Lord is simply telling you that giving your shirt to somebody else is far greater than what you think you know? So to make yourself pure and the things that you do with your actions, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows and their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is I got a couple of definitions that I want to read so we understand what we really, how God really feel about these words. So what we're going to do, the first one we're going to do is pure. Pure in an adjective. Pure means flawless, perfect, genuine, clean, good for you. One more time. Flawless, perfect, genuine, clean, good for you. So it ain't what you've been taught at your class. But it's what you do for those that's in need. Hell, Job said, I made the widow heart sing for joy. Can we do that? How many of us can make some stops to meet brothers and see if they're okay in them jail cells? What if you see the poor on the street and they really need your help? You got a couple of canned goods or a couple of dollars or some clothes or something to help them out? Or the person that's crying, could you make them feel better? That's going to be a really, 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 really big part at the White Throne Judgment.
Sorry, Dad.
It's okay. That's going to be a big part. Are you doing that? And the definition for undefiled is so simple. It just means pure. And we already read what pure was, flawless, perfect, genuine, clean, good for you. And the definition for unspotted in the Strong Greek 784 in the adjective means unstained, undefiled, spotless, and pure. So he ain't out there getting all crazy. He's doing the best that he possibly can to stay clean in this untoward generation, and he's out there loving his brothers and sisters as the commandment said, that we have the commandments, but the two greatest commandments is to love God with all your heart and soul, and the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. The rest you hang up, but you better have those too. How many of us doing that? So much for trying to prove people wrong. How many of us trying to prove ourselves to God and picking up these fruits of the Spirit and taking care of the people in need? I'm in this complex, right? I'm in this complex, and it touched my heart when I sang it. I went into my complex, and like in our complex, we have like an actual office that keep our mail in there. And it touched my heart to see people putting up stickers. The sticker said, if you need food, do not hesitate to knock on our door. Please knock on our door. Door number such and such, such and such. We have plenty. I said, praise God. Because definitely around this time of year, with all this madness going on, everybody want to talk about what somebody else is doing. But God bless that person's heart that put that sticker up on that wall to let people know if you need something to eat, don't hesitate to knock on my door so you can get something to eat. That's a beautiful thing. And God bless their heart for that. That's a great work in the vineyard. To let strangers come knock on your door because you are hungry. You might have lost your job, but that unemployment ain't come through yet. You can go ahead and go to that crib and knock on the door, get some bread or something, some food. They got something for you. Praise God. So since we are on this precept about to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world, then let's check some of this stuff out to see how we can really please God, how we can really make him proud of us. Let's make God proud of us by reading these scriptures. So what we're going to do now is go into the book of Exodus chapter 22, the book of Exodus chapter 22. The book of Exodus chapter 22, and all we want is verses 22 through 24. Exodus 22, verses 22 through 24. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Exodus 22, starting at verse 22.
Yes, sir.
Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless.
Now, that is a very interesting thing. That didn't say anything about if you Israel or not. That didn't say nothing about if that person is walking upright or not. It said nothing like that, did it? It simply said, the fatherless and the widow, if you afflict them at any time and they cry, I'm going to hear it and I'm going to do some hurt to you. Now, I got a story. This was about a couple of years ago. And somebody decided to boast themselves and put this thing up on YouTube and Facebook and other social medias on his stupidity. So I don't know what – well, I'm not going to say what camp the guy came from, but it was an Israelite brother and sister inside of a car, right? And it was a Gentile that was – really in help. He really needed help, you know, to get some food and stuff. I think he had a couple of kids out there with him, you know. But it was him. He was poor and he needed help, you know. Make a long story short, the brother decided to record it and tell the poor guy why he can't help him. And this is what the gentleman said, well, I'm not going to call him a gentleman. This is what this ignorant man said to this brother, well, the Gentile. He was like, well, you see, I have the money to help you, but I can't help you because you a devil. You a devil and you worship the devil. And I'm not supposed to have no fellowship with devils. And then, you know, they go and read them little scriptures half off. Had old girl reading the scriptures, and he was telling the Gentile that I can't help you because you a Gentile and you a devil. I got the money, but I'm not gonna give you a damn dime because you not on what I'm on. And get away from my car window. Gentile shook his head and said, "Man, that's messed up, man. That's the worst kind of conversation I have heard in a long time." And he walked away. And then you read the comments. He said, yeah, you do your thing, Israel. You do your thing. You do your thing. We go see at the white throne judgment. Because if anybody do something like that, you bogus as hell for doing that. And don't even worry about it. Because I guarantee you that the Lord, that it will be required for doing something stupid like that. This man walking with no shoes on. He ain't got no shoes on his feet. No clothes at his back. Clothes all ripped up. God knows how he was smelling. You mean to tell me you couldn't get this man about, what, $5, $10 so we can go to Walmart and get himself straight? You want to embarrass him on social media and call him a devil, and this man needs your help? And we actually think we're doing the right thing. But the scriptures just said in 22, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. Even though that was just a man we was talking about, but I'm pretty sure it's going to go the exact same way, because the Lord said don't even afflict the poor. Because I think it's in the Apocrypha or one of them scriptures, but I pull it out when necessary. Lord said, you hear a poor man's cry. It didn't say their race or what he believed in. But the Lord said, I hear their cry. So much with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding you think you have. It really don't mean nothing. Because if you doing them bogus, the Lord will surely visit you and it ain't going to be for good. I'm just letting you know. Now let's go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick this thing up at verse 3. And we're going to read verses 3 through 6, and then we're going to skip down to 16. 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 through 6. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
1 Timothy chapter 5, starting at the 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God.
Now, right, now one second. That definition. Now, the piety. Piety is just obedience, respect, duty, faith, and holiness, and to requite. So piety means obedience and respect, duty, faith, holiness, and to requite. Obedience, respect, duty, faith, and holiness. Go ahead and read.
Verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
Right, so we should understand what's going on. You know, the Lord is really showing you how we're supposed to really look at a widow. You know what I'm saying? A widow shouldn't have a need for nothing. Definitely if she's in the churches, she should have a need for nothing when it comes to cash, money, food, clothes, counseling for the kids, nothing. If the love of her life has lost his life, if he's dead, the whole dang on church better be to her creator to make sure she's straight. Make sure the kids straight. Make sure the kids got to understand that you got to respect your mother even though your father is not around anymore. Because if you disrespecting your mama, you better believe I'm going to put myself in a daddy position to make sure I get you straight. You're not going to disrespect her. Definitely, she got to do this stuff alone. So if you know a woman that's out there with no husband, or her old man died, we should make sure they don't have a want for nothing. Let's skip down to verse 16. That one verse, when you get it, go ahead and read.
If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed.
I told you. So if you think you believe that you got widows surrounding you in the churches, You better make sure you do all you can to love them and to make sure they straight, to strengthen them, make their hearts sing for joy. She better be feeling like gold once the church is done with her. And the pastor or priest, you better not charge her a damn thing. We'll take the tithe. She ain't paying nothing. This is what make God attracted to us. This go get a multitude of sins taken away. This is what's going to make the Most High smile in third heaven when he turn around and see us doing stuff like this. We too busy high-fiving trying to destroy and kill the Sunday churches. Even though it's good to understand what to do and what not to do, don't get wrong on that. But come on, it's way more stuff in this book we need to be doing to be worried about that. All we want to do is oppose one another, point the finger, smite the fist, debate. I know I'm right. I know I'm doing this thing right. You don't know what you're doing. I'm trying to show you this what the book says, this and the other. But Lord, be like, damn, did y'all not read what I told you? What's going to make me happy? Don't you know if you just go and love somebody and give your shirt to those in need, I'm going to look at you and respect you more than what you think you know? That whispering and backbiting and fighting between one another? Don't you know that I would be more satisfied and more happy and pleased if you just go and love some damn body? Don't you know that that could be a sure spot in the kingdom just by loving people? Don't we should know that this is what's pure and undefiled before the Most High God is to love one another and definitely help and take care of those that's in need, definitely the fatherless and the widow? Somebody better be trying to make our heart sing for joy. We should be trying to do something because that's going to get us some gold cool points in that book, the book of life. You better believe that you showing love like this and not doing it fake or phony, but you actually trying to do this thing right. Don't you know that will be written in the pages of the book and it will be considered perfect righteousness? The Lord, like we already talk about this all the time when you be hearing my precepts. Moses was the wisest man that ever lived. The Bible said none greater than John. David was a man after the Lord's own heart. King Solomon had the greatest wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We had Joshua and Joab, great generals. But God called Job perfect. And when you read the story of Job and you understand his adversity and how he was doing his self-check through his adversity, everything the man talked about was how he took care of those and helped those that was in need. That's why God called him a perfect and upright man. It ain't none of this stuff we trying to talk about, trying to prove who's right and who's wrong, but simply taking your dang old shirt off your back and seriously giving to somebody else in need. I guarantee you that would be a lot better. Love is how we're going to get this, brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the book of Zechariah chapter 7. The book of Zechariah chapter 7. The book of Zechariah chapter 7. And we want verse 10. That's all we want is verse 10. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Zechariah 7 and 10. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart.
Amen. Plain and simple. Got to beat this thing down so we understand was pure and undefiled in the eyesight of God.
Excuse me, Israelites. I just missed that verse.
That was the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 10.
Okay, forgive me. I was in Jeremiah. 7 and 10. Zechariah chapter 7 and 10. Salah.
Amen. Amen. Don't be oppressing them. And if they come to ask you for help, you better not despise them, because it's obvious you might not know how it feels to be left alone. You might not know how it feels not to have a father. You might not know how it feels not to have a husband. Yours might be getting all nice and set with your loving, while she go to bed cold and alone. Because what did King Solomon say? When you have two, you have warmth. But how can one lay alone? When you have two, you can help each other out. But how could you get that work done when you are alone? So it's easier to puff yourself up and think, oh, here they come again, ask for something. But let God take the breath of life from your loved one, and now you see how it feels. So don't you dare hate them in your heart or be bitter, angry with them in their heart because they need some help. Help them. And thank God that they allowed you, that they asked you, and you do it with a merry heart, because you know it's going to be written in the book of life for righteousness. So what the hell you care for? You making her feel happy, she's getting happy, she's getting more love, she's getting more support, and the Lord is happy at you, and he's going to bless you for helping that person in need. How have you lost? How could you have an anger, a bitter spirit, because people like this is asking for things in need? So don't be angry and bitter if somebody like this asks you for help. They shouldn't even have to ask for help. Definitely if they know you. Now let's go to the book of Luke chapter 7. Because we should have compassion on people like this. We should really want to help people like this, because this is what God really wants from us. The book of Luke chapter 7. And now let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ and how his compassion is for people like this. We're in the book of Luke chapter 7, brothers and sisters. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 11. Verse 11 through 16. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Luke chapter 7, starting at the 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city named Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bride, and there that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorify God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people.
Compassion. You didn't hear nothing about, her family, dad, I wonder how much books she know before I go over there. I wonder what she did for her husband and her child to be dead. Now, I don't know. I ain't saying nothing. God forbid if she was a Gentile. I don't know. I might not do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ ain't like us. He ain't like man. He ain't looking at none of that. He's seen a woman that lost her husband and lost a child. Just imagine the double pain that woman was feeling. The hell with her wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ain't worried about that. We ain't worried about what kind of feast you taking. We ain't worried about none of that. What we see right now is a woman that lost her husband, lost her child. We got to do something. We might not be able to do what the Most High did to have the man wake up, the child wake up, but we can at least do something to show God that, Lord, we see this woman in pain, and what we're trying to do is the best of our ability to make her happy. But looking at the Lord, he seen his woman lost her child and she's a widow. He had compassion and woke the child up. All praise to the Father in Jesus' name. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel that's sitting in the third heaven, for his mercy endure forever. Praise and bless the King, because the King is showing us what he's really looking for in us. Now let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 1. The book of Isaiah chapter 1. And what we're going to do is read one verse. And that one verse we're going to read, brothers and sisters, is verse 17. The book of Isaiah chapter 1. One verse, and that one verse is 17. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Isaiah 1, starting at the 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow.
So now, when you check this great piece out we just read, come on, this is not rocket science. This is not the Lord revealing his secrets unto his servants of problem. The Lord revealing his secret unto his servants of prophets. This is plain sight. This is a milk lesson. If we pay attention to verse 17, the very first part of the verse 17, it says, learn to do well. We got to ask ourselves a question. What do God mean by doing well? The Lord ain't going to leave us hanging because he got it in the same verse. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. That's doing well. Didn't God say in the New Testament, well done, my good and faithful servant? He ain't telling you to do no miraculously outstanding job with all the wisdom, knowledge, understanding that's on the face of the earth. But he simply said, learn to do well. Learn how to love people. Learn how to have a good heart. Don't fake it. And if you have a problem with a good heart, just pray to me, you know, fast. Show me that. Show the Lord that you really want to have this heart, and he'll give it to you. But in order to do well, you got to take care and help those in need. I don't see this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding we so much talk about. I don't see it. But the Lord is really thorough on helping people in need. Real big on that. Now let's read a food for thought, brothers and sisters. Let's get a food for thought up out of this message. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 12. The book of Mark chapter 12. We're going to read verses 41 through 44. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in and all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
Now that's an amazing thing. The Lord had to go and grab the disciples and say, hey man, y'all come check this thing out. You see them rich people, man, with them big old bags of shekels of gold and silver and money and all that? They putting in bummer crocks of gold and silver in the treasury. But look at this widow. All she had were 2 pence of a mite. She gave all she had. And I'm telling y'all, she gave more than every last one of them because she gave her last penny. And she was a widow. So it's also telling us something, too, about widows. Well, a lot of them. That they have a good heart. You know, because to lose your husband, or to lose, you know, to lose somebody like that, it seems like it must humble you. And really make you with a broken and a contrite spirit. Because even though that they poor or they're a widow or anything like that, it seemed like they got a really good heart, too. But God was very, very, very pleased with seeing this woman and her actions to give all she had. And what she had was nothing but little. But she gave it. She gave more than every last one of them put together. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. It's because this is the whole needy greedy. This is the whole needy greedy, brothers and sisters. The book of John 14. And what we're going to do is read verse 15. That one verse.
St. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
So if you love God, keep his commandments. Right? Now let's break this down some more. Let's go on to the book of Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40.
Matthew chapter 22, starting at the 36th. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
So we just understood in the book of John 14 and 15, if you love God, keep his commandments. And we just took that same conversation in the book of Matthew 22, 36 through 40. You know, what's the greatest commandments of these? Love God with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as thyself. So if you want to know what's great in the law, love God with all your heart and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself, then you should do well. So, brothers and sisters, when you're looking at these scriptures, we should be trying to be a little bit more focused. Well, way more focused on this. Judge yourself so you don't be judged. Work on yourself. Fight your shortcomings. And to really do a phenomenal job of helping those that's in need. And I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, you will be doing well. Because we need to understand something. It will be asked of us. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And what we're going to do is read verse 8 through 14. Well, we don't need to read 8 through 14. We go read Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting at 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
And you better believe how you treat people is going to be that ginormous part on if you make it into the kingdom or not. I don't care if you ain't missed an ounce of beat on a Sabbath day. I don't even care if you perfected it. That don't mean a damn thing. You still get your face tossed first and body slammed into the lake of fire, bound hand and foot. So when he bringing these things up, you better believe that this is going to be a great portion of it. We better have a lot of work in the vineyard when it comes to how we treat one another. And definitely those that's in need. And especially the widows and the fatherless. It better be ginormously great. Because we could be playing all we want. Playing church, pointing the finger, playing the name game, thinking we got this thing right, we thinking we straight. And come to figure out this whole time you've been doing this thing wrong. Let's check this thing out. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 25. The book of Matthew chapter 25. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 25, starting at the 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
And this is the same ball game to this very day. Everybody want to be on games. And I'm just letting you know, brothers and sisters, this is not talking about you just parroting off what other people know. You can be them same 5 foolish women that ain't take up everything they needed. But the 5 wise is taking care of the commandments. Loving God with all their heart and soul. Loving their neighbors, they do they self. Working on themselves. Judging themselves so the Lord don't judge them. Pleading for the widow. Loving the fatherless. Helping and taking care of those that's in need. Visiting the brothers and sisters that's in prison or done wrongfully. Protecting those that are not able to protect themselves. You know, we've been doing it so long that it's become secondhand nature. But everybody else in mama want to point a finger and look what they're doing. you know, bring up all type of stupid, idiotic things instead of worrying about what's really supposed to be, what we really supposed to be taking heed to. Because don't be talking to me about Noah Pasca and Passover right around the corner. Don't be talking to me about this whole Esau and the Gentiles and Passover right around the corner. Don't be talking to me about what all these people is doing behind closed doors, and you're not teaching me to keep the finger pointed on myself to make sure that I'm right. Because if you ain't doing none of that, you will be found to the foolish woman that didn't take up everything she needed, just like the five wise virgins. So we sit here bickering and fighting. The wise went around the back gate and started focusing on God, walking forward, ain't looking back, doing the best we can, and the Lord gather us up. And when it's too late, now we're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, the Lord did say we need to help the poor. You know what I'm saying? But it's too late. It's too late now. Because we need to understand that this is a very big portion that the God of Israel wants out of us. And I can wait until this little supposedly virus thing is gone so I can go out there and take care of some work out there in the vineyard too. Because this stuff's scary. I want to make sure I got some of this stuff on my plate. I won't be doing all these precepts and doing Bible artwork comment and still find myself short because I ain't out there helping and taking care of people that's in need. Me too. I got to make sure I'm right too. I ain't no hypocrite. I need to get this thing right just like everybody else do. And if you're already doing it, bless your heart, and you keep doing it to the very peace of your breath. Because I'm letting you know right now, faking it ain't going to get it though. Remember, in order for you to know who's righteous or not, they got to have the fruits of the Spirit. Ain't no such thing as faking. Let's find out why ain't no such thing as faking it. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And what we're going to do, bro, is read 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at the 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
The greatest among these is charity, brothers and sisters. So you see, there's no such thing as faking this thing. You cannot pretend because the Lord is going to identify you to the prophets. Because we just read it. Didn't the Lord say not to be bitter against the fatherless and the widow in the earlier scriptures? That will show. It can even show through your spirit or your words. That means if you give it, you gave it for no reason because it's not in charity. What about the people that love taking pictures and let everybody in their mama to see what they're doing? Giving that money to the poor and handing out cash. You think these people want their face seen on national TV, seeing that they hurting? And also another very interesting thing that Brother McComey just read is this right here. It said this right here in verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. This is why the very first scripture we read in the book of Job, chapter 11, verse 4, when it said that my doctrine is pure, I'm clean and God asks, that ain't the one the Lord was talking about. Because you only know half of the story. And we just read in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Everybody know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the Most High come down from the third heaven, he set this orchestration up, when he set this thing up straight on this earth during this thousand millennium, then everybody is going to have the same wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and there will be no such thing as half-assing with understanding. So the Most High has not came back and came down on the third heaven on earth. He ain't come back yet like that. So everybody only know the half. So that's why your doctrine cannot be pure, supreme, perfect, righteous, and clean in God's eyes, because you only know the half. Drop the pride and learn something from your brother so you learn a little bit more on your table. And guess what? You still only know the half until the perfect man comes, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So getting back with this whole conversation on charity, in verse 3 it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. That means it's in vain. Because you might have been doing it with a wicked heart. And if you ain't been doing it at all, thinking that you get to all this master wisdom, knowledge, understanding, or persecuting the Gentiles, and cast them into the fire, and they might need some help. Let's see what God thinks about that. This is the last scripture. And then, Nakoma, you can read that script you read in the beginning. Let's go into the last scripture. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Let's go back into the book of Matthew 25. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, brothers and sisters. And what we're going to do is pick this piece up at verse 41 so we get a pure understanding on those who's too slow to understand. This is what God is talking about if you don't do this to your brothers and love them. Read the book of Matthew 25. The book of Matthew 25, we're going to pick this thing up at verse 41. 41 through 46. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Matthew 25, starting at the 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal.
Oh, so if you don't know how to show these fruits of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, don't give a damn how much you know. You could break down the Apocrypha and the KJV from the old to the new. We'll get into some other books and break the whole thing down to the most common denominator. But if you don't have no love, no charity, no meekness, no temperance, no long-suffering, no gentleness, no meekness of heart, and definitely helping and pleading for the widow and the fatherless and those that's in need and the poor through their affliction and be a help to them, then you might find yourself tossed face first in lake of fire where they should be weeping and gnashing the teeth. And you can read other scriptures that show the Lord said, bind them hand and foot. Your ass not even moving no more. So this is, since Passover is coming up, we need to understand that we really need to put on these fruits of the Spirit and really help and take care of those in need, definitely around this time with this little virus thing going around. So through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding. Oh, yeah. Brother McCombie, grab that last scripture. Excuse me.
Okay, the scripture that I started out with was 2 Esdras chapter 8. We're going to pick it up there, 1 through 7, and it reads, and he answered me, saying, the Most High hath made the world for many, but the world to come for few. I will tell thee a similitude, Esdras, as when thou askest the earth, it shall say unto thee that it give much mold whereof earthen vessels are made, but little dust that gold cometh of. Even so is the course of this present world. There be many created, but few shall be saved. So answered I and said, swallow then down, O my soul, understanding, and devour wisdom. For thou hast agreed to give ear and art willing to prophesy, for thou hast no longer space than only to live. O Lord, if thou suffer not thy servant, that we may pray before thee, and thou give us seed unto our heart and culture to our understanding, that there may come fruit of it, how shall each man live that is corrupt, who beareth the place of a man? For thou art alone, and we all one workmanship of thy hands, like as thou hast said. I have read 2 Esdras chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, amen, 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 amen. Did you check what Brother McCombie just read? He said there have been a lot, a multitude of people created, but few go be saved. So if you understand this thing, then bless your heart. Keep them fruits of spirit. Let your light shine in this world. And through the grace of God, others can want to learn to serve the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I ain't talking about all the other stuff. Because what we just read is what really, really, really makes God happy. And since Passover coming up, through the grace of God, we start doing this stuff more this year. And through the grace of God, we just try our best to stay away from our flesh. I know it get rough sometimes, but it can be done. All praises. So, through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding out the precept. Excellent reading, Brother McCombie. A phenomenal job. And the name of the precept, one more time, is called What is Pure Religion and Undefiled Before God? And we just figured out helping, loving the widow, the fatherless, and helping and taking care of those that's in need. I thank y'all for y'all time.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All praises. All praises. I turn things over to
Amen.
Brother Job and Sister Webb. Thank you for your time.
Amen. Awesome lesson, brother.
Oh, amen, sis.
And also reading, Brother Nakomi. I like that second answer, too. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, big bro.
Great job. Great two steps. Great reading, Brother Nakomi, man. Very necessary. We out of control right now, and I really like, you know, one is that I know this coronavirus thing got a lot of us spooked, and we don't know if it's half fiction or half nonfiction, you know what I mean, things like that. The one thing that is fiction, one thing that is nonfiction, is that the Lord has got you in your books. He got you focusing on your house, and he got you focusing on him. And right about now, which is the Passover, he really got us looking at, are we really worthy? And I'm not asking the Lord to just wipe out a bunch of us that ain't, you know, that we just feel that ain't worthy. You know what I'm saying? I'm just hoping the Lord give us an opportunity to take it next year. You know, maybe we ain't fit this year like we should be, but if we try to be better people in the spirit, you know, instead of just being better people in deed, but better people in the spirit. You know, like that thing you said about that brother, you know, that dog, that Gentile out, man, and he was homeless and he was poor. That Jake actually thought he was going somewhere with that. When the Lord tell you, go press not the strangers, for you were strangers in Egypt, that's a law. That's a law. And that Jake was boasting himself against God. He wasn't boasting himself against the stranger. He was boasting himself against the law. You're right. I don't want to think about where that brother is even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I just pray, man, that your Father have mercy on him and that he repent from that madness. You know, and that his pride, you know, is removed from his soul. You know, hopefully he'd be able to take part in the Passover. But that was horrible. To hear that story, man, that was horrible. You know, we don't have choices of poor. What poor people we gonna feed and what poor people we gonna bless and what poor people we gonna show favor to. You don't have that. I mean, Minnesota is a real diverse place. Well, actually, it's the Great White North, but it's really diverse. You got a lot of different nationalities. And so they got this thing that they call street signing. They had these signs on the corner. And I've seen Gentiles and Latinos and Indians out there with their whole families asking for money and bread. You know, wife, children. I'm talking about, you know, Indian people. You know, maybe Pakistan. I don't know. I know they look like Indian to me because, you know, of the nature they dress. You know, and this is the world we in. You know, that poor and sickness in death, don't have no race, class, or wealth status, Jack. Everybody fit that. So our best bet is to be take your advice and just be better you and a better me. And that's being more like Christ, man. So, hey, man, this precept was hot, Jack, and we gotta really start refocusing on our being, man, because the Passover is new, and it is near, and I'm hoping and praying that the Father have mercy on us, man, that we'll be able to take it next year. That's my real prayer, because it's just that serious to me. Not what you know. It ain't just religion. It ain't religion. You know, it's the Son of God. It ain't religion. You ain't doing this because, oh, it's April the 14th or it's April the 6th or we got to do this. It's the past. No, it's the Son, the offering of the Father for mankind. It don't get any bigger. It don't. And what Nakomi brought up, the Passover and the atonement are one and the same. When you put them on numbers, that was deep. That was on point. That he made the atonement on a Passover through Numbers. I'm a yield of might, man. I'm just saying, I'm with you on the, I'm with you 100%. Great precept. And yes, we got to remember those that's in need, especially our widows. Amen. I yield the mic.
Amen, bro. Great word. Amen.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom to call me.
Oh, thank you, bro. Great lesson, bro. Great lesson. We got to understand this thing about, like you said, a lot of us have great teachers. Israel has a lot of great teachers. I'm on here with a bunch of great teachers. Job is a really good teacher. Brother Isaiah, you're a really good teacher. Even though you're in the beginning of your ministry, you're a very young man, and you're doing pretty good for someone that's just starting out. I've been doing this for going on 19th, September. It'll be my 19th year of being in the Word. And but guess what, people? I want to be number one. I want to be up there as a teacher, but when you deal with things like this, I want to be even better in my obedience to God and the mercy that I have on my fellow man. Because he said, those that have mercy shall receive mercy. So, people, you got to understand the principles of God and understand that. Guess what mercy is, people? All of us that's going to stand before Christ, we all need the same thing. We all need mercy. So God has given us the same power he has. You can have mercy. But with that, I want to read something about the ministry of Paul and the ministry of Peter, but where they came together. So I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to read 7 through 10. Galatians chapter 2, 7 through 10, and it reads this. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So he said, Paul said, I taught Israel just like Peter did. But we're going to read on, verse 8. For he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostle of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So he said, Peter was about Israel. He said, I'm about the Gentiles. So this is why I don't trip about them Israelites that's all Israel all the time. So we've always had Israelites that's about Israel, and we always had Israelites that's about Israel and the nations. So he's breaking this down. Paul is breaking this down. He said, yeah, Peter all about us, even though one of his first things is he dealt with Cornelius. But he said his main mission is to the circumcision, but I'm going to read on in the 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So here they go. You got some Israelites say, we're going to go to the heathen. They're going to go to the circumcision. But now we all going to agree on one thing, verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So they said, okay, hello, shalom. So you see, Peter was about Israel. Paul said he's about the Gentiles, but he said, but we all, the mission is towards the poor. He said we all got to pull in and deal with that mission. So people, we got to understand that. Because if you want of God's people, guess what? If we do not care about the weak and the poor, who is? He says, as we go, he said, love is going to wax colder and colder. So if we don't have compassion on people, who will? Who is going to have compassion on them if we don't? So with that very great lesson, brother, I yield the mic.
Amen, bro. Great, great, great wording, bro. Great wording. All praise to the Father. All praises.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, do.
Yeah.
Shalom. Hey,
shalom. Amen, 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 in the name of Jesus. All praises, Brother Isaiah and Brother Nakomi, great reading. I just want to piggyback off the, Brother Nakomi as well, using the word mercy. What she stated was compassion, forgiveness shown for someone whom it is within one's power to punish or to harm. Mercy, leniency, clemency, grace, pity, charity, forgiveness, forbearance, humanity, mildness, kindness, sympathy, indulgence, tolerance, generosity, tenderheartedness, softheartedness. So I just want to say what I got from your lesson, which I'm just a firm believer in today. All I kept hearing was the word love, 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 love. Everywhere I walked, everywhere I went, every song I listened to was about love. And I'm a firm believer in whatever happened yesterday, that was yesterday. Give your first and your best. I've learned from you, brothers, to always give your first and your best, to always stay humble, pay attention to your surroundings, even the Bible code. I saw it 3 times today. I'm really humble, and I'm just thank the Father that he allowed me to be here at this time and this point in my life in the sounds of the water. Even with the books of Acts, I was reading in Acts today about Paul being on the ship and the 260-something, I forgot the number, but it's 200-plus people that were on that ship. And I added the numbers up, and it equaled 12. And it's just a lot of things, but that mercy thing, that compassion, that helping your brothers and your sisters and the widows, and the main thing today was love. Love. Do you have love? Love is the antidote to everything. Everything. Mercy. We want mercy, but we don't want to give anybody else mercy. We don't want to love anybody else, show any compassion to anyone else. But when we're going through and we need something, we want somebody to show us mercy, love, compassion, long suffering. So I just want to thank the Father for confirmation through your lesson this evening to me about loving, being loved, and having compassion and mercy on other people and praying for other people and being there for other people. And every day that the Lord allows us to wake up is a new, brand new day to me. It's a brand new day. Whatever happened yesterday, that was yesterday. We got to pray for each other. And some of us are weak in the faith. Some of us are stronger than others. But some of us are really weak. And for us to judge, right now is not our place. If you see your brother or sister weak in the faith, you need to pray for them. If it's in your power to help them, help them. If not, pray for them. That's the best you can do. But the key word to me today that the Lord gave me on this day was love, L-O-V-E. Give your first, give your best, forgive, let go, let God. And in these trying times, we need to be there for one another if we can. But like, Thank you, Brother Isaiah. Thank you, Brother Nakomi. Thank you, King Priest. Thank you, Brother Miles. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, Brother Farrell, for being a part of the Sounds of Living Water and teaching us how to save ourselves from ourselves. And like Sister Mary reminded me yesterday, that those that endure to the end shall be saved. So we got to press forward. So, amen. I just want to, you know how I am, I ramble on. But the key word to me is love, L-O-V-E. Have mercy, love, give your first, give your best. And if we can help one another, let's do that. instead of talking about one another, instead of criticizing, downing one another, finding fault in one another, find the light in your brethren. See that light. Call that light out. Even if you see a bunch of darkness or see darkness, rebuke it in Jesus' mighty name. Call that light out. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Sissy. Thank you for your input. All right, do we have anybody else online that would like to say anything or add on to the precept or give a testimony?
You don't have any hands up, Prince.
Well, you know, I can talk for another hour. Somebody better say something.
You got, I mean, we got a full house, but we don't have any hands up right now.
I
want to say something. You know how you talk about praying in the privacy of your own mind, not praying. Sometimes it's not just praying out loud. And if you really want to answer from the Lord, you pray in the privacy of your mind and you be still and you wait on the Father. Well, I just want to give testimony in the name of Jesus that this morning I prayed in the privacy of my own mind and I waited on the Father, and immediately the four things that I prayed about this morning, the Father gave me answers before the sun went down. Prayer is powerful. Powerful. Especially when you cry out to the Lord, you snot. Come on, people. You just can't go to the Father when you're just in need, just when things go wrong. And then, okay, I'm going to pray to the Father. Oh, God, you know I serve you. I keep the Sabbath day. I pay my tithe. I do this. I do that. And you can't think about yourself. You got to pray for others. You got to pray for other people. Whoever comes across your mind, you pray for them. The last person you need to be praying for is yourself. I'm just going to put it like that. The last person, and the Lord already told you that he already knows what you have need of. He already knows the desires of your heart. So you don't even have to pray for yourself, really. But the last request, and if it just has to be known in the privacy of your mind, is for yourself. Pray for other people. Cry out for other people. Give earnest prayers. And the Lord will bless you because he knows it's from the heart. So I just want to give that testimony that pray for other people. If you can help other people, help them. If there's madness all around you, rebuke it. Be the light still. Still be that light. And the Lord will bless. The Lord will cover you. But we need to be there for other people, other brothers and sisters, children, widows, families, sons, daughters, husbands, wives. God is good. And I'm just really at peace right now. I know I'm just rambling on, but I'm just so still and I'm so at peace. And the Father just reminded me today, Rhea, love. Regardless of what's going on, just love. That's the antidote to everything. Love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. You know what, Drew? I was, I don't know why the Father landed on this script, but you got to let me read it.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, this is Job chapter 24:1. I'm going to pick it up at the one. It says, "Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they know him, not see his days? Do they that know him not see his day? Some remove landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fathers. They take the widows for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way the poor of the earth tied themselves together. Behold, as a wild ass in a desert, go they forth to their work, rising beat time for a prey. The wilderness yields a food for them and for their children. They reap everyone his corn and his inner field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. They that are wet with the showers of the mountain and embrace the rocks of want of a shelter, they pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheath from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their winepress and suffer thirst. Man groans from out of the city, and the soul wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the path thereof. And the murderer riseth with the light, killeth the poor and the needy, and in the night as a thief. The eyes also of the adulterer waited for the twilight, singing, no eye shall see me, and disguise his face. In the dark they dig through the house, which they had marked for themselves. In the daytime they know not the light. For in the morning is to them it even as the shadow of death. And as one knoweth them, they are in terror of the shadow of death. So, bruh, you know, it just allowed me to, I don't know why the Father allowed me to run on this script, man, but he just ran what the heck is going on right now. You know what I mean? We got to, you know, really check ourselves and clean house, you know, and prepare ourselves for the King, man, because he was talking to both those that didn't know God and those that do. And that was got me. He said, and they that went out of the way, they got out of it. They knew the difference, and they chose to go out of the way. You know, that's a heavy piece, man, because when you look at that, you just became ungodly. And we be talking about, you know, sinners and ungodly, like they one and the same. No, the ungodly are those that was once godly are now ungodly. They're not servants, they're hypocrites. You know, and everybody choose their rights. So it is what it is. We got to just make sure that, like you said, Comey and Zay and Sister Mary, where everybody said, you gotta check yourself, man. You better examine ourselves before we take this Passover. It's a real conversation. We're not doing this because of religion. We're doing this because we really believe in God, and this is his blood that we are really taking in for mercy's sake, not damnation. So I just had to read that, man. I'm just buzzing. I just stick the script over here, and it just landed right here. And I said, whoa, they turn the needy out of the way, and the poor hide themselves together. What? I had to read that, bro. I had to read it, man. So,
all praise. Hey, man. It was necessary. Thank you. Thank you. All praise to the Most High. You know, and definitely another thing, too, is, you know, a lot of people is out of work right now. If it's somebody you know and you able to do so, or even if you're not able to do, man, go see how they doing. You know, give them a call or something, you know, and really show them, you know, hey, I'm here for you if you need me. You know, because a lot of us ain't blessed with like a, where, you know, like with a, you know, a job that forces you to take, well, that allows you to take care of the poor and stuff like that, or like a CNA job, or like a nurse job and stuff like that, or housekeeping. You know, some people ain't fortunate to have that around this time. You know, so please, you know, keep each other, let us all keep each other in prayer, you know, and really hope that God keep his children protection around us, you know, around this time. You know, we ain't out here fearing or scared and nothing like that, because the Lord gonna take care of his own. But the same point in time is, like Sister Rhea said, some people faith is strong, some is weak. So it's our job as servants of God to give somebody a call and to strengthen them and give a prayer if possible, or if necessary, go ahead and fast. Under the grace of God, man, you know, we will get through this, because we know for a fact that we got the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on our side. We gonna get through this thing, you know. Let's try to love one another a little bit more better, and definitely help those that's in need. And with that, I yield the mic.
Oh, I had my mic on. I had one eye. once again, great preacher, Prince, and great reading, Brother McCombie. You know, you catch your brother, you actually catch the spirit of meekness you catch by the study class here every Thursday. I'll be living waters at 7:00 p.m. You can talk to your brother Isaiah if you have any questions or comments or the precept you just heard. Likewise, if your brother call me, if you heard anything, write them down. You catch these brothers online, that's the time to get your answers. You know, if you got questions or comments, or you just got a question about something that that's just been riding in your brain, you know, just open up and fire it out, because there's no wrong questions here. You know, it's just the wrong question is the one that's not asked, because that one there don't get answered. You never know, it may be an answer to God. So once again, Great precept. Tomorrow evening, we have the Commonwealth of Israel. That's myself and Israel. We'll be here tomorrow evening at 7:00 p.m. Here at the Sound of Living Waters. And tomorrow, Sabbath day, we're going to have you have conversations. We're gonna deal with the wave offering. Yeah, the wave offering. Why, you know, you got the Passover, but how come we ain't dealing with the wave offering? So you want to be here for that? That's on the Sabbath day, and then Saturday evening. You want to be here for Yah's Global Kingdom with your brother Horace Nile, and he been doing a doozy with the walking in the New Testament, the Beatitudes, man, is showing us that Jesus walked. You know, for those of us, to those things only may concern and really believe in this thing that we call the Word of God. He been doing a phenomenal job with that. And then Sunday morning, we'll be back here for the breakfast brunch. And Father, allow me to put something on my mind. Why you have to have staff on the path? So, you know, so we're going to look at that. Why you should have a staff when you take the path? So, you know, on that why. So we want to be here for that, because a lot of us take the Passover, don't have a staff, and, you know, we just doing the boogaloo, you know, and then turn around and judge everybody else. Like, it's in us to do that. You know, that's, I don't know, I guess that's just a pet peeve. You know, you taking a Passover without a staff, but you judging this cat that got a staff and his fringes, and you taking a Passover. And, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, that's our Sunday. So tomorrow evening, I'll be myself here with Sister Red. That's tomorrow evening. And be back here at Sound of the Water at 7 o'clock p.m. So with that being said, we thank everybody for their time. And we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Water, do what?
Read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles, people. I'm appointed.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.